Element Church, what is happening? It is a privilege and an honor for me to be before you today. Huge shout out to Scott, Erica, my family. Thank you all for having me today. I look forward to a productive conversation. And so before I get into the message, just want to share a little bit of background about Scott, Erica, and I. We essentially grew up together. We met in college as young adults, teenagers in our early 20s, and we forged a relationship. And the foundation of that relationship initially for Scott and I call him Scotty, was athletics. Was football. We played college football together at Olivet College. But I will tell you, our relationship, even though it started in athletics, it was really formed and groomed around our common faith in Jesus. And so in meeting Scott and Erica, we had the privilege of growing up in the Lord together and experiencing God in miraculous ways. I'm talking about one of the most amazing experiences that I've seen regarding the voice of God. I've seen Erica obey the voice of God and God literally show up in a moment. And so at some point, if I'm before you physically, I want to share that story with you, and Erica knows what I'm talking about. Scott and I, we met again around athletics. And Scott will tell you, we met playing basketball. I think we may have been talking junk in the lunchroom. And Scott says, somebody fouled him hard. It was me or one of my friends. It got really, really competitive. And so I'm not sure. Scott says that they won the game. So we're gonna take Scott's word for it. But I will say Scott is one of the most incredible athletes. If you all don't know this, Scott is one of the best athletes I've ever seen. Can catch, can run, can throw. And so it is an honor to be their friends. But most importantly, it's an honor because we're family. And what makes us family is our faith in Jesus. And so I count it a blessing that we are in each other's lives. So whether I'm back in Michigan and come and spend time with them and the kids, or they come down here to the Atlanta area and spend time with my wife and I, it's an honor for me to call them family. And so I am glad that I get a chance to be before you all as family today. And so in our conversation, I'm going to spend some time talking about chaos, God's will, and specifically your assignment. But before we do, let's open up in prayer and then we're gonna dive into the word. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to speak to your people today. Father, your word declares that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of your mouth. I pray, Father, that you anoint my words and that you speak to your people. May you be glorified today. May you be honored today. And may we all grow, be encouraged, and edified in your marvelous, glorious Son, Jesus. It is in his name that I pray. Amen. All right, so let's get into the word, y'all. So our foundation scripture for today is going to be in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. Again, Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. And I'm going to start reading. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. So in light of that scripture, I want to take a moment to reflect on the last 15 months. This past year has been, I believe it's safe to say, chaotic. Think about it. We've had the pandemic, and hopefully the pandemic is coming to a close. We've also had political rivalries, dividing, right? People could have certain political ideologies, and it has pitted people against people. We also have within our country right now, racial tension, right? And I mean, it has even got to the point to where people are arguing over if you should wear a mask or if you shouldn't wear a mask. Like literally, somebody could think somebody is right or wrong because they wear a mask or not wear a mask. So I think it's safe to say that in our current climate, things have been chaotic. Could you say, based off of, in light of Matthew chapter 7, would you say that in our current world today, we have been experiencing several storms? Again, the storm of the pandemic, political storms, racial storms, just all kind of storms beating against the house, the mind, our faith, beating against how we think, how we treat other people. And so my question to you is, have you taken a moment to check in on yourself? Have you taken a moment to check in on your foundation? Here's some questions that you can ask yourself whenever there's a storm going on. How is my relationship with Jesus? In the midst of this storm, how am I doing with the Lord? Have I drawn closer to the Lord during the storm, or have I moved further away? How about this? In the midst of uncertainty, am I certain of God's will? Right? Do I know what God's will is during this time? See, here's the interesting thing about God's will, is God's will doesn't change just because there's a storm, right? And if you have been in the middle of a storm and you have questioned the certainty of God's will, to me, that means we need to check our foundation. What are we resting on? In addition to that, you may even be thinking, if you begin to question God's will, you may be even begin to think, what is God's will for my life? What am I supposed to be doing during this time? And so for many of us, if we were to reflect on those questions, we could honestly say, you know what, Doc? My relationship with Jesus hasn't been the best. I mean, I've not lost faith in the Lord. I mean, I've not been as close to the Lord as I can be either. I still believe, I know that I'm supposed to love God and I'm supposed to love people. But quite frankly, I don't even know what my assignment is during this time. And so if you were to honestly assess yourself and find yourself in that position of honesty, then this message is for you. And so over the course of the next several minutes, I'm going to spend some time to show you how you can discover God's will, but also how you can discover your assignment in God's will. So let's start with God's will. As Jesus would pray, his disciples would watch him, even to the point to where his disciples asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. And in Matthew chapter 6, it talks about Jesus begins to go through what we commonly refer to as the Lord's Prayer. And he says in Matthew 6, verses 9 through 10, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so if we regularly pray that prayer, if Jesus instructs us to pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven, I believe, and I know the scriptures affirm that God wants us to specifically know his will. But there are three things that we have to do in order to discover God's will. And here's the beautiful part, is once you discover God's will, then you knowing God's will actually sets you up for more impactful prayers. Knowing the will of God is connected to a strong prayer life. I'm going to say that again. Knowing the will of God is connected to a strong prayer life, right? Sometimes when we don't even know what God's will is, our prayer is, Lord, let your will, nevertheless, let your will be done. But what happens when you know what God's specific will is? Your prayers become more targeted. You know, it's almost like if you went out to the mall, right? If you went out to the mall and you have a specific store that you're going to, when you get to the mall, you walk different. You walk with purpose. You walk with determination. But if you're just going out to the mall to hang out, you just kind of walk around, right? And sometimes that us not knowing the will of God, we can just walk around in prayer. But when we begin to know and discover God's will, we move with purpose. We move with determination. And our prayers become more impactful. So let's talk about how we discover the will of God. Number one, the will of God is always revealed through a renewed mind. I'm going to say that again. The will of God is revealed through a renewed mind. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1-2, it says it this way. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Here it is. Check this out. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. God wants you to know that you know his will through a renewed mind. Another way to say it is, a renewed mind leads to an awareness of God's good, perfect, and acceptable will. And so you may be thinking, how do I renew my mind? Well, think about the soap journaling that you've been doing. You renew your mind by reading and meditating on the word. When you do your soap devotionals, when you read the scriptures and you identify the scripture that stood out to you, when you identify your observation, your application, and your prayer, literally you are reading and meditating on the word of God. And whether you know it or not, you are renewing your mind. And here's the thing, is that in Romans 12, it tells you, you will be able to test and approve what God's will is with a renewed mind. A renewed mind brings awareness of God's will. So I think of it like this. Back in the day, old school, a person goes into a bank and they fill out a loan application to get a loan. And depending on their credentials on that application, the banker would either stamp it with a red denial or a green approval. And that's what a renewed mind does for us. As we begin to journey through life, a renewed mind gives us the stamp of determining, of knowing what God's will is, those things that we need to deny, and those things that we need to approve. That's what a renewed mind does for us. So I want to encourage you, continue to dig into the word. Continue to meditate on the word. And as you are digging into the word, meditating on the word, you are literally having a renewed mind. So in the midst of a storm, when everything around you is chaotic, you understand what God's will is and you're not easily shaken. The second thing, God's will is discovered through sacrifice. In Matthew 10, verses 38 through 39, it says this: "Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it." I love this scripture right here. In Hebrews 12:1, it says it this way. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." The will of God is revealed through sacrifice. There may be some things that you and I have to give up. You may have some things that you need to throw away. And those things that you need to throw away may not necessarily be sin, right? Go back to Romans 12:1. If you see, it says, "Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin." In other words, there are some things that could be weighing us down that's not necessarily sin. I've heard it like this: good is the enemy of best. And so even though some things may be good, it's not the best for you. And so what are those things that we need to sacrifice? Is it social media? Is it TV? Is it certain things that we eat? So we always know, even in the midst of a storm, we can know God's will if we have a renewed mind and if we're willing to sacrifice. The third thing is that the will of God is always revealed through a person who's dependent on Jesus. God's will requires us to be connected and dependent on Jesus. In John 15:5, it says, Jesus is talking. He says, "I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Here's a way that I like to say it right here: there are no self-made Christians. If a Christian is successful, if a Christian is fruitful, it's not because of them, it's because of Jesus. Every successful Christian is connected to Jesus. Every fruitful Christian is connected to Jesus. God's will is always connected to his son, right? So in the midst of a storm, in the midst of all of this chaos, that's when we have to make sure that we're leaning and depending on Jesus. So to recap, to know God's will requires us to have a renewed mind, to sacrifice, and to be connected to Jesus. And so here are several questions that you can reflect on, you can begin to answer and begin to implement to help your foundation be solid in the midst of all of this chaos. One, how will I consistently read and meditate on God's word? What's my plan? How will I engage with the word of God? Number two, what do I need to give up that weighs me down? If it doesn't cost you anything, it's not a sacrifice, right? If it's not something that you want, it's not a sacrifice. So what do you need to give up? Again, it may be something as simple as a TV show or a movie, right? And then the third question you can reflect on is, how will I stay dependent on Jesus and not myself? And so once, as your foundation is solidified in the midst of this storm, the next question that you may have is, how do I discover my assignment in God's will? And so God's will does come with specific assignments, right? As a body of believers, we all have the same purpose: to love God and love people. but each of us have different assignments. Some of you may be a barber, another person may be a doctor, another person may be a lawyer, a secretary, a construction worker, a dentist. But we all have different assignments within the will of God. Check out Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 6. It says this: "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us." We have different gifts. There is diversity in the kingdom of God. Purpose is the same, but assignments are different. And so there are four questions you can answer to help you discover your specific assignment in the kingdom of God. The four E's. The first E is easy. What do you do that comes easy to you? In Matthew chapter 11, verse 30, Jesus is talking. He says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." There is a misconception that we have to work hard to accomplish God's will. We are enamored with hard work. But Jesus came on the scene and said, "Oh yeah, you got to work in the kingdom, but my work is easy, my burden is light." So what do you do that comes easy to you? Do you draw really easy? Can you sing really easy? Is it easy for you to talk to people? That's one question that you can answer to help you begin to discover what your assignment is. The second E is, what do you do that gives you energy? I love this story. In John chapter 4, you can go and read the whole story. And it's a popular story where Jesus encounters the Samaritan woman at the well. And so if you go back and read the story in John chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon." Here's the key here. If somebody was to ever ask you, why was Jesus at the well? It was because he was tired. Jesus was at the well because he was tired, and his disciples went off to go and get some food and to bring it back. And they came back, and I'm going to pick up in verse 27 and then verses 31 through 34. It says, "Just then his disciples returned." It was about noon. "Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, 'What do you want?' or 'Why are you talking with her?' Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, 'Rabbi, eat something.' But he said to them," here's the key, "'I have food to eat that you know nothing about.' Then his disciples said to each other, 'Could someone have brought him food?' Listen to what Jesus said. 'My food,' said Jesus, 'is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work.'" In other words, when you are walking in your assignment, God gives you energy. When the disciples left the scene, Jesus was tired. And as Jesus operated in his assignment, Jesus became energized. How about you? What gives you energy? What do you do that perks you up? What do you do that excites you? That could be an indication of God's assignment for you. The third E is eternal. What do you do where you lose track of time? In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, it says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Here's another way to say it. What do you do where you lose track of time? Have you ever been doing something? Maybe you're a writer and you've been writing a book, or you've been writing a movie script, or you've been writing a play, or you produce music. And you are so in your assignment that literally time moves away. Time goes away and you look up, you come out of, you know, doing whatever you do, writing or producing music, and you realize, man, I've been in there for 5 hours. That's a moment of eternity where time is gone and you are in a moment of eternity right there. And so what do you do when you lose track of time? And then the fourth E is excellence. What do you do with excellence? Now, here's the key with excellence. The first three E's, easy, energy, and eternal, you have to answer. But the fourth E, other people answer. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 17 through 19, it says, "So Saul said to his attendants, 'Find someone who plays well and bring him to me.' One of the servants answered, 'I have seen a son of Jesse of Bethlehem who knows how to play the lyre. He is a brave man and a warrior. He speaks well and is a fine looking man, and the Lord is with him.' Then Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, 'Send me your son David, who is with the sheep.'" Here's another way to say it. Is other people help you determine what you do with excellence? Other people. So go out and ask people, what do I do well? Be honest with me. If you've ever seen the TV show American Idol, especially at the beginning stages, there has been some people that have not been honest with other folks. They start singing and you know from the first note, okay, that's not their assignment right there. They need to pick something else, right? So what do you do with excellence? Ask other people, man, when you speak, man, I love to hear you speak. Man, you really connect with me. Or when you write, my wife is a writer, right? I love to write. She makes an impact on people through her writing, right? Or if you are serving as a nurse or a doctor and you really know how to make a connection with people when they're really down, people, that's a gift of excellence. And allow others to compliment what you do well. The Bible says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And so when somebody comes up and acknowledges, man, you do this well or you do that well, don't just push it to the side. Take note of what people acknowledge that you do well, because what they acknowledge you do well may be the exact assignment that God has assigned to you. So to recap, we know that our foundation in the will of God is Jesus. And in order for that foundation to be intact, we need to have a renewed mind, we need to be sacrificial, and we need to be dependent on Jesus. And as our foundation is firm, no matter the storms that's going on, as our foundation is firm, we need to also be walking in our assignments. And one of the ways to discover what our assignments are is to answer those four questions. What comes easy to me? What gives me energy? What do I do where I lose track of time? And what do I do with excellence? So as you discover and firm up the foundation of God in your life, and you get clarity on what your assignment is, here's my ask. Go out into this chaotic world and produce fruit to the glory of God. The great thing about the fruit of the Spirit is that no matter the season, no matter the storm, no matter the climate, the fruit of the Spirit is always in season. And the very thing that this world needs is Jesus and his people. The very thing that this world needs is Jesus and his people to know his will in the midst of the storm, to walk in their assignment in the midst of the storm, and to produce fruit for his glory. I said to my wife years ago, if you look at the fruit of the Spirit, or if you look at the fruit of an apple tree, for an example, the fruit that a tree produces is not for the tree, it's for other people. And so God wants to produce fruit through us to usher people into his kingdom. Imagine how many people we can bring to the Lord because we know his will and we're walking in his assignment. And so you may be sitting here watching this video and you don't have a relationship with Jesus. The foundation of our foundation is the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And so I want to encourage you, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, to get connected, to connect with Jesus. Make him, receive him as your personal Lord and Savior. There are several things that you do to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The first thing, every Christian, every single Christian has acknowledged and recognized that they are sinful. I'm imperfect. Every person watching this video is imperfect. We have all sinned and fallen short. And so I know that you've lied before. You may have stolen before, blasphemed the name of God, dishonored your parents, coveted, right? Recognize that you have sinned against a holy, perfect God and you need forgiveness. The second thing is to receive and accept the sacrifice of Jesus. Receive and accept the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus died on the cross. He took the punishment that you and I deserved for our sin. He took the punishment. And the scripture says, to all who believe and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. So not only do you need to recognize that you have sinned, you also need to receive and accept the sacrifice of Jesus. And you need to repent. You need to turn from your sin and then place your faith and trust in Jesus. And one way that you do that, you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, and you confess with your mouth that he is Lord. And so it may sound something like this. If you're ready to make that decision to start following Jesus, then you can pray a prayer like this. Father, I recognize that I am sinful and that I deserve punishment. But I thank you that you sent Jesus to die for my sins, and he rose from the dead and is seated at your right hand. I ask that you forgive me of my sin. I repent and I confess that Jesus is Lord. If you prayed a prayer like that, I'm here to tell you that heaven is rejoicing and you are now a child of God. So now is the time to connect with other believers, to grow in your faith. And I look forward to seeing you, whether in person one day or in heaven one day, because you have made the ultimate decision of making Jesus your Lord and Savior. So congratulations. And so thank you all for the opportunity again to speak to you today. I hope this was a fruitful message for you. And so in closing, go out and be fruitful. God bless you all. Have a good one. Bye-bye.